Proverbs 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. The grass withers, the flower fades, the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to listen as your beloved children. Father, help us to use our eyes to look to you, our ears to listen to you, our hearts to keep your commands, our feet to walk in your paths. Teach us to guard our hearts, to stop them from the evil that they want to do. Open my mouth. Help me to speak boldly and powerfully. Open our ears, plow up our hearts. Make us fit to receive your good word, to feast on it. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, certainly what we have before us is one of the most famous texts in the book of Proverbs. Keep your heart with all diligence. But don't let the centrality of the heart in this passage distract you from the other body parts mentioned here. Indeed, this passage is what one commentator called an entire anatomy of discipleship. As we look at the various body parts that get wisdom in, that keep it inside, and then that work it back out. The heart, of course, is central to that, and it's mentioned right in the middle of this set of verses. But the heart is not the only body part that you and I have to present as an instrument of righteousness. Wisdom internalized must become wisdom externalized, wisdom lived out. And that can only happen when you guard your heart. Our passage tells us, guard your heart, because wisdom internalized must become wisdom walked out. And that can only happen when you guard your heart. Well, as we have seen so many times before, our passage begins with an exhortation to listen. To which we might say, listen again. Didn't we get it the first five times? And the answer is, no, We did not get it the first 5 times or the first 50 times. That's why we come to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday to listen to God's word again. This father, like every father who cares about his children, repeats himself because, let's face it, we need to hear these things more than once, more than twice, more than 50 times. We need to keep hearing them on an ongoing basis. So the Father's word comes in, first of all, through the attention. My son, give attention to my words. In this day and age, of course, it's well known that attention is the most valuable commodity out there. Entire fortunes are made, rise and fall, on this fleeting phenomenon of attention. We obsessively track it. How many people watched this show? How many views does this YouTube video have? How many people listened to this song? Where is it on the charts? How many viewers can I expect if I buy ad space in your newspaper, magazine? We are obsessed with quantifying attention. And allegedly, people like us are supposed to be savvy consumers who navigate this space well and know how to give attention where we want to give attention and withhold attention where we don't want to give attention. The Father here doesn't tell us, again, to listen to every voice that talks, to just put out attention willy-nilly. He says, give attention to my words. Listen, but don't just listen to every voice out there. Listen to me. And the question for us, once again, is do we listen? Is our attention directed toward the Father's words on a regular, ongoing basis? Right? We all know that you can sit down in the morning to read your Bible and you can let your eyes run over the lines. And then you can close it and get up and say, I don't have any idea what I just read. I read it, but my attention was on the day. Next week, my plans for summer vacation, lunch, name it. We can play it, turn on an audio version, and then realize 2 minutes later, oh, I haven't heard a word that was said. Attention is fundamental. Wisdom lives in paying attention to the right things, and specifically in paying attention to the Father's voice. Is that where your attention is directed? To what are you most attentive? The desires of your body? The thoughts that pass through your mind? That inner voice that comments on the world around you? Your favorite pundit? Your favorite author? Your favorite entertainer, whatever it might be, where is your attention? It needs to be on the Father's words. So wisdom comes in through the attention. It comes in specifically through the ear. Incline your ear to my sayings. The ear is a very important body part in the discipleship process. If you are never using your ears to get the Word of God in, you're not being discipled. The Scripture uses this phrase, incline your ear, that is, bend your ear, tilt your head to listen. Have you ever noticed that? If you talk to someone and they keep their head straight up the whole time, you start to wonder, is this person listening to me? Because when people tilt their head toward you, they gives you kind of a visual cue that they're listening. And that's what Solomon is talking about here. Incline your ear. Right, we can all practice this in fellowship time today. Send that I'm not listening body language. No, don't send that. Don't send that to God. Incline your ear. Tilt your head. Because when you do the thing that says I'm paying attention, it actually helps you pay attention. Right? Lounging, flat on your back, eyes closed, hands behind your head, is not the pose of attention. It's the pose of inattention. But incline your ear And that also means incline your ear to the sayings. What mostly comes in your ears? People complaining, swearing, blaspheming, fussing against God? Or do you mostly listen to people praising God, delighting in God, reading His Word, talking about His Word, saying uplifting and upbuilding things? Now, obviously, most of us can't control our work environment and the kind of people we have to be around on a daily basis. But when it comes to the listening environment you do control, what do you listen to? What goes in your ears? What goes in your eyes? Verse 21, don't let my sayings depart from your eyes. Where are you always looking? Where are your eyes directed? Just like the ear is important in discipleship, so is the eye. If you're constantly watching your bank account balance, the game, your favorite team, your kitchen counters and the shelves of your refrigerator, right? The ear and the eye just tell us something about where our attention is going. Where is it directed? Is it primarily on the Father's words? Or is it primarily on something else? Whatever that thing might be, good, bad, indifferent. Give attention, incline your ear. Don't let the Father's sayings out of your sight. Are you looking to Jesus? Or are you looking to something else to be that thing that you need, to provide a reason for existence? To be that long-expected something that we all live for. What are you looking to? That's the question that the Father here poses. Not only does He tell us to keep wisdom in our attention, in our ears, in our eyes, but He also says to keep it in the midst of the heart. Not just in the heart, but in the middle of the heart. I don't know how learned most of you are in Great Lakes lore, but of course I hope everybody here knows that Lake Superior is the largest lake in the world. And in Lake Superior there are a few islands, not a great many, but a few, and one of them, of course, is the largest island in Lake Superior. And this is too interesting. Siskiwit Lake is the largest lake on Isle Royale, which is the largest island in Lake Superior. Siskiwit Lake contains several islands, including Ryan Island, the largest, which contains Moose Flats, a seasonal pond, which contains Moose Boulder. When Moose Flats is a pond, Moose Boulder becomes the largest island in the largest lake, on the largest island in the largest lake, on the largest island in the largest lake in the world. How's that for interiority? You are in the middle of the middle of the middle of Lake Superior. That's the location in your heart where this wisdom needs to live. Not towards the outside, not on the periphery, not somewhere where it can easily be lost, but in the middle of the middle of the middle. Deep inside your heart. Where the most important things are stored, that's where God's Word, that's where wisdom belongs. Does Christ dwell there in the midst of your heart as the wisdom of God? What is in the middle of your heart? I'll give you a hint. It's probably the thing that your eyes are looking to, that your ear is listening to, that your attention is focused on. Because as the next verse tells us, well, verse 23 tells us, everything you do comes from your heart. So whatever is in the middle of your heart is going to flow downstream into these other aspects of your personhood. Where are your eyes? Where are your ears? Where's your attention? That's probably where your heart is. So, by the same token, right? If Christ is in the midst of your heart, then your attention, your ear, your eye is going to be focused on Him and His Word to you. Well, what does wisdom promise when you get it in through these four channels? When wisdom comes in, once again, it promises life and health. We talked about this. Anyone here who's ever been sick knows that it's unpleasant to be sick. And I would say that anyone here who's ever been dead knows it's unpleasant to be dead. But you don't have to be dead to know that you don't want to be dead. You want to live and you want to be healthy. And if you want to live and you want to be healthy, then Solomon says what you really want is wisdom. Wisdom is the cause of life and health. In two senses, we've talked about personified wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who grants life. He's the one who grants health. In Him is life. And He has the power to give it to whom He will. But also, internalized wisdom, the wisdom whereby you obey God and act wisely, think wisely in your daily life. That too, in a lesser sense, controls life and health. Because without that wisdom, you will die and you will do foolish things that make you sick. All things being equal, as we've said before, to walk in wisdom is to be alive and healthy. That's where the normal development of this will take you, unless something is put in its way. And of course, sin puts many obstacles in the way of life and health. And that's why even the wisest person in this life doesn't enjoy perfect life and health. But the tendency of wisdom is to give you life and to give you health. Well, if you bring all this wisdom in, where does it go? It goes into your heart. So the central verse of our passage, if you conflate the last two verses that talk about feet, the middle verse is verse 23 and 24 that talk about, or verse 23 talks about the heart. And what does it say to do with your heart? Once you bring this wisdom in, once you have wisdom enshrined in the middle of your heart, what do you do then? Well, you start to guard your heart. Now, I think most of us probably misunderstand this saying. We tend to read, guard your heart, and we think, ooh, I need to put my heart in protective custody. My heart is threatened. There are bad people out there who are going to hurt my heart. This is a nasty world, and if I just let my heart be given willy-nilly here and there, people are going to stomp all over it. This is not talking about protective custody. The kind of guarding here is guarding an armed and dangerous prisoner. Guard your heart because it wants to get out from under guard and do something bad. Jesus put it this way. That which proceeds out of the man is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Where is defilement located, according to Jesus? Is it in the bad TV show out there in the world, the bad neighbor kids on the block, the bad people at school, the bad people at work, the bad food, the bad drink, the evil drug? No. Defilement is located right in the middle of the heart, and if you guard your heart, you're being told to stop your heart from doing the evil things that it wants to do. So don't take this and say, oh, guard your heart when you're reading the real estate catalog, when you're talking to that pretty girl, when you're shopping, Amazon. No, obviously you do need to protect your heart from being hurt by the nasty world out there, absolutely. But that's not what this verse is about. This verse is about stopping your heart when it wants to get out of control and do something rotten and nasty. Now, how do you guard your heart? How do I stop my heart from doing this? And the answer is, do what the passage just said. Listen to the Father's words. Look to Jesus. Don't let him depart from your eyes. And transform your heart from the inside by filling it with God's word. Keep these sayings in the midst of your heart. What happens when you do that? Life and health. And that's life and health in the fullest sense, that transform your heart, not just physically, but morally, ethico-spiritually. How do you guard your heart? Listen to the Father. Look to Jesus. Fill your heart with the Word of God that transforms it from the inside out. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth, Jesus prayed. In other words, don't start reading at verse 23. Verse 23 by itself is a pretty depressing message. Guard your heart because it wants to get out and kill people. The end. No, guard your heart, and here's how. Do what I just said. Listen to your Father. Look to Jesus in his power as the one who died and rose again for you. And fill your heart with his word. Put his word right into the middle of your heart, where it will give life and health where none existed previously. So why should you guard your heart? Why prevent your heart from doing the evil things it wants to do? The answer is the second half of verse 23. It determines everything you do. The heart is a rebel right in the control center. Imagine, if you would, Tsar Nicholas I joining the Bolshevik party. Whoa. Right, that doesn't bode well for the future of the Russian Federation. Well, that's what has happened inside each one of us. You are your heart. You don't need to be told to follow your heart. You already do. In fact, you can't do anything else but follow your heart. You can only control your heart from your heart. Now, we are complex beings. Your heart controls you. You control your heart. Works both ways. How do you control your heart? Where do you control it from? From itself. You control the heart from the heart. This means that if there's no part of your heart that wants to do what's right, you will never obey God. If obeying God is not your heart's desire, then you won't obey Him. Whatever area of your heart has been transformed by that Word of God dwelling within it, is the part that has to seize control and guard the rest and say, no, evil part, I'm not going to let you do that thing you want to do. No, you can't say those words. No, you can't think that thought. No, you can't do that thing. Everything is downstream from the heart. And it goes on then to list a number of things that will be affected right away if you guard your heart. The first thing is your mouth. There's an absolute direct pipeline between the heart and the mouth. And whatever comes out of the mouth was in the heart first. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus told us. So Solomon says, as soon as you start guarding your heart, you will put away a deceitful mouth and perverse lips. As soon as you start guarding your heart, The number one biggest change will be that you stop lying. Start being honest about yourself and therefore about the world around you. No more deceitful lips. Because when the Word of God is in charge of your heart, you can tell the truth. You don't have to lie about who you are and what you are. Perverse lips mean not just telling lies, but any kind of degrading and polluting speech. That will no longer come out of your mouth when your heart is being guarded, stopped from saying those things that it wants to say. Your eyes, too, will focus on where you're going. That is, toward God and His heavenly kingdom. Your eyes will look straight ahead. That's a metaphor for not being distracted, not being sidetracked, not turning off, turning away from your destination, but focusing on where you're going. And where you're going means to God. You're following that path of righteousness that leads to life. If your heart is in the right place, your eyes won't be saying, "Ooh, shiny. Ooh, what's that?" Heart controls eyes. If your heart is guarded, your eyes are going to focus on Jesus. And look to the destination. And of course, your feet will walk the right way too. Check on the path of your feet. Ponder it. Think about where those feet are taking you. If I keep going the direction I'm going, where will I end up? Ask yourself that question. Think about the path of your feet. Don't say, "Well, where I am right now isn't too bad." Say, "Where will I be if I keep going this way for 2 or 3 more decades?" Where do people going this direction end up? Ponder that path. Think about where you're going. And when you do, while guarding your heart, your ways will be established. That is, your ways will lead you where you ought to go. Your ways will keep you in the right spot. Where are you oriented? Are your feet pointing towards fun and pleasure? Toward wealth, or toward the kingdom of heaven? The path of your feet is certainly going somewhere, and there are only 2 possible ultimate destinations. I think I've told you before about the man I sat next to in the airport in Newark one day, coming home from college. I was flying to Denver, so I said to him, "What's your final destination?" And he looks at me and he goes, "My final destination is hell." Part of me wanted to say I wouldn't doubt it, but you know, I wanted to try to engage him with the gospel. I don't know that I did very well at that. But Solomon is saying, we need that kind of honesty. Ponder the path of your feet. Where is this path headed? If you think about it while guarding your heart, if you think about it while telling your heart, "No, we are going the right way today, heart," then your ways will be established. Your path will take you to the right place, and you won't turn off it. You will keep your foot from evil. So go straight on toward Christ. Don't swerve. Don't pick some lesser goal. Don't say, "Well, you know, to be a follower of Jesus is too hard. How about I try to be a decent person? How about I try to live up to the example of Socrates?" Yeah. No. Look to Jesus. Go straight on towards Him. Fix your eyes on Christ. Listen to the Father's voice. Fill your heart with the Word. That's how you guard it, by giving it to Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that Your Word would be in the midst of our heart. Teach us to look to Jesus, Teach us to listen to your word. Forgive us for letting our attention wander onto so many lesser things, unworthy things, even evil things. Father, teach us to recognize that our hearts pose a threat. Give us honesty about that. Give us the humility to guard our hearts, to stop thinking that it's our heart's desire, it must be good, and to start realizing that if it's our heart's desire, it's likely evil. Father, establish our ways. Teach us to ponder our paths. Keep our hearts. Keep us, we pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.